Radio Daily for Weekend Eve. Yeah. Doesn't matter what kind of crazy nonsense is going on in the world. Come on, this is our time. This is our moment to be like, screw you, work. I'm just going to be slacking. Well, I've been slacking pretty much the whole week, but don't follow my example. You be better than me. But now start being bad. Welcome to the 18th of April. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You might know us from Facebook and Twitter and all kinds of places like that. The folks bringing it to you today, the man who's decided he's going to start working on fortune cookie slogans, that there's podcasts who's Rich Siegfried.
I don't know if we can trust our government anymore.
Heck, I'm in the government. I don't even trust it.
That's a bit wordy, sir. You're going to have to trim that up. Hi there. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn. Wonderful.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
But it proved me wrong. What happened today, sir?
In 1846, R.E. House of New York City is granted a patent for the first telegraph ticker capable of printing messages as letters rather than Morse code at the rate of approximately 50 words per minute.
Wow. 1902, Denmark becomes the first country to adopt fingerprinting as a method of identifying criminals.
1924, Simon & Schuster publishes the first crossword puzzle book.
One across the. 1925, the first commercial transcontinental radio transmission of a radio facsimile in the U.S. is sent from San Francisco, California, to New York City. It's a photograph of Louis B. Mayer of MGM giving actress Marion Davies a makeup box. Yeah!
1930, BBC reports there was no news. Then played out with piano music.
I miss those days, man. 1955, world-famous physicist Albert Einstein dies of heart disease while asleep in Princeton, New Jersey hospital bed at 1:15 a.m. and then transcended into a non-corporeal form and helped out the DC superhero solve the challenge.
Oh, I always wondered what happened to him.
There you go.
1963, Dr. James Campbell performs the first human nerve transplant. Apparently, somebody was on somebody else's last one, and so they needed to swap it out with a fresh one.
2005, a group of fans of the Mad Max films are arrested along Interstate 35 in Central Texas for threatening a tanker truck from their vehicle with fake machine guns. At the time, they're traveling in a convoy on the way to a Mad Max film festival in San Antonio, Texas.
You know, you don't need a permit to make a fan film. Nope. You should at least let people know around you.
Yeah, warn some folks.
Says the person who pretended to rob a bank in a short film, and apparently the director didn't let the bank people know.
That's not my fault.
2005, physicists at the Brookhaven National Laboratory announced the creation of a newly discovered state of matter has resulted from smashing atoms in the relativistic heavy ion collider. The new state behaves like a hot, dense liquid composed of basic atomic particles such as quarks and gluons, rather than like a gas as expected. Researchers theorize that all of the matter in the universe was held in this liquid state for a fraction of a second after the Big Bang, and that's where thetans came from.
2006, Toshiba launches the HD DVD high definition video disc format in the United States, and Phantom of the Opera becomes the first film released on HD DVD with a true HD soundtrack. My HD DVD player still works, as do all of my wonderful HD DVD discs. They did porn and they still didn't win.
I was going to ask, I haven't seen the porn version of Phantom of the Opera, but all right.
It's the Phantom of the Opera.
Show her your opera face.
Birthdays?
Britt Robertson, 29 years old, from Scream 4, Under the Dome, and Tomorrowland.
Aaliyah Shawkat is 30. That's maybe on Arrested Development, of course. Pee-wee's Big Holiday.
Yeah, I'm a fan. Laura Minnelli, 39. Janie in Watchmen, Haven, and Alphas.
Melissa Joan Hart, 43, from Clarissa Explains It All, and Sabrina the Teenage Witch, not the dark and edgy one.
David Tennant, 48 years old, Barty Crouch in Harry Potter, Kilgrave in Jessica Jones, and Dr. Somebody.
Dr. Somebody. And he's, you know, going to be Crowley in the upcoming Good Omens, huh?
Oh, that's right.
David Hewlett, 51, that's Rodney in Stargate, Rise of the Planet of the Apes, and the underappreciated movie Cube that everyone should watch and fall in love with.
Yeah. Maria Bello, 52, also from History of Violence, Mummy 3, Max Steel.
Conan O'Brien is 57 years of age. You know him as a talk show host, a writer for The Simpsons, and of course, was wonderful as David Endocrine in The Dark Knight Returns, Part 2.
Eric Roberts, 63, brother of Julia Roberts.
James Woods is 72 years of age, brother of Creepy.
And fan of younger ladies. Yeah. Cindy Pickett, also 72, Ferris Bueller's mom, and St. Elsewhere.
Dorothy Lyman is 72, that's Naomi from Mama's Family, Blow, and The Departed. Wow, she stepped up her game.
Haley Mills, 73, from the original Parent Trap, and Good Morning, Miss Bliss.
Why did they forsake you and move to California?
Haley Mills is 73 from the original Parent Trap and the best version of Saved by the Bell. Good morning, Miss Bliss.
See, we did it twice because she's
the thing.
She played twins. We're clever. Born this day, no longer with us, 1857. Clarence Darrow from the Scopes Monkey Trial Lawyer. I mean, I don't know what the big deal is. Why can't a monkey use a microscope?
Right? 1904, David Pigmeat Markham. He was the guy going, "Here come the judge," on Laugh-In. He was a singer and dancer, but really Laugh-In. That's the only reason we remember. I'm sorry, dude. You were very talented.
1922, Barbara Hale, Della Street on Perry Mason and the Giant Spider Invasion.
1925, Bob Hastings, Lieutenant Carpenter in McHale's Navy, Commissioner Gordon in Batman the Animated Series. And when you see his face, you'd be like, oh, I saw that guy in 100 Things.
1936, Jerry Dexter, Alan on Josie and the Pussycats, Hal on C-Lab from GoBots, Super Friends, and no relation to Dexter Morgan.
1958, Karen Mayo Chandler from Explorers, Prince Valiant, and Hamburger, the motion picture.
On CBS, we've got a rerun of Big Bang Theory, Young Sheldon, Big Bang Theory, New Family, and SWAT.
ABC, it's a new Grey's Anatomy, Station 19, and For the People.
NBC has a new Superstore, App Bio, Will and Grace, Abby's, and Eleanor Svu.
On Fox, Gordon and his former enemies work together to protect Gotham City against Bane's final plan to destroy it on a new Gotham where Bruce Wayne is 14 and the Orville.
CW has Shammy. Dean and Castiel conduct a thorough investigation into a string of suspicious deaths that seem to contain some kind of biblical element to them. You don't say, on a new Hanson Brothers Ghostbusting Power Hour known as Supernatural and In the Dark.
Over on Freeform, Tyrone's past actions catch up to him and put Adina in harm's way on a new Cloak and Dagger.
AMC, for all you volleyball enthusiasts, they've got Castaway.
Which, you know, technically is Cast Away. But I'm just a jerk like that. Disney XD, New York Excelsior versus Philadelphia Fusion on a new Overwatch League.
FX, Sam helps Max and bakes for Phil on a new Better Things.
FXX, The Simpsons Marathon, you got your mobile homer, the seven beer snitch, and a star is torn.
FXM has Sicario.
Ooh, not a documentary. National Geographic Channel, George R.R. Martin stops by on a new Star Talk with Neil deGrasse Tyson to explain why he hasn't finished the damn book yet.
Either that or Neil deGrasse Tyson's going to be like, you know how you suck all the fun out, remove the boobs, the murder, and the dragons. Then you've got yourself a show. IFC has Heartbreak Kid.
TBS has a new Full Frontal with Samantha Bee. Don't I wish. But we're watching the Lifetime Movie Network because after renting out her basement suite, the homeowner slowly discovers her life is in danger when her renter develops a dangerous obsession with her and threatens her loved ones as she begins a desperate fight for her life. Cindy Busby and Marcus Rosner star in The Killer Downstairs.
The wonderful Billy Flynn takes a look at what happens when Salem's favorite couple takes off. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. Chad feeds the ladies a shocking explanation for Abby's eerie note. Sarah measures out a cup of revenge after Rex blackmails her into pushing Eric away. Lonnie turns to self-medicating to cope with her kid's new ADD diagnosis. Gabby pulls a fast one to keep Stefan from discovering her afternoon delights with the lawn boy. Hope's tough love impresses her petulant son. I like the word petulant. Hashtag Chabby. Forever.
No blasted lettuce today!
Well, I know there isn't, because everyone's still going back to the Monday Chad and Abby adventures to figure out how the hell Jared figured out where they were based on that one thing alone. Oh my goodness. If you put it together, let us know. You could win. You just need to send a note to podcast@geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, you can always tell us by voicemail because we enjoy hearing you. Don't ask us why. It might be a little creepy. Send that note to the wonderful dialing numbers of
510-GRD-CROW.
Wonderful dialing numbers. I've never said that before in my life.
Hi there. I am Nobilis Reed, the creator and host of the Nobilis Erotica podcast. And I'd like you to listen to my show. Just me telling you that might not be very convincing, so I got a few of my friends to record some reasons why you should listen to the Nobilis Erotica podcast.
I just can't listen to it because the other toll booth operators think I'm getting turned on by sweaty quarters and truck exhaust.
Oh, okay. It's clearly, not getting...
Nobilis Erotica is really good, but I just can't listen to it because when I do... I get a tingly sensation in my loins, and I work in the morgue, and that's just wrong.
All right then, fine. The Nobilis Erotica podcast, not safe for work. even in headphones. Find all the information about subscribing at nobilis.libsyn.com.
I'm Allison Scagliotti, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
Indeed you are.
And thanks, Allison. I forgot where I was for a moment. It happens.
Greetings, Starfighter. You have been recruited by the Star League to defend the frontier against Zur and the Kodan Armada. Get ready. Prepare for blast off.
One thing I know is that my allies and I had just obliterated the largest horde of rabid zombies I'd ever encountered, and then suddenly, Chief Wiggum 49 and Halo is my bitch 12 decided to frag me.
That's just the way life goes, my friend. What happens? What's out there, sir?
Do you think it's too late to get a drop from Allison Mack?
Never.
We've got Cuphead, a 2D co-op shooter platformer focused on boss battles. It is known for its unique art style, which imitates the more surreal cartoons of the 1930s, and it is finally available on the Switch.
Nikki Klein did say she'd like to work with me on another project. We should make that happen. God's Trigger! It's a co-op action game for the PC, PS4, and Xbox One.
I forgot she was a part of that. Katana Zero, a 2D action platformer published by Adult Swim Games. It's available for the Switch and PC.
I'll never forget that neither one of them invited me. Embark, a base building game where players have to manage a group of colonists in a fight for survival for the PC.
See, you'd willingly be signed up for a sex cult. I mean, there's no problem with that. Boss Guard, who's the boss? It's finally you. One big bad player-controlled boss goes against a team of Vikings, each with special abilities. Enter Boss Guard, a hectic 1v5 boss fight multiplayer game in which you get to crush your enemies, I mean your friends, as the boss on PC.
When Allison Mack is involved, of course, and Nikki Klein is the bonus scoop on top of that. Our World Has Ended, speaking of them, Japanese visual novel published by Red Entertainment for the Switch and PS4. Good for Red Foreman for having more work in this day and age.
You know what? After seeing him on Lucifer, I'd settle for Tom Welling. Dragon's Dogma, Dark Arisen. A re-release of Dragon's Dogma, Dark Arisen, including a new high-level area with new monsters and quests from the original, as well as a handful of refinements of the original game, Dragon's Dogma, Dark Arisen. It's available for the Switch.
You can have your Tom Welling, but I called dibs on Justin Hartley. Samurai Showdown V Special, an enhanced update of Samurai Showdown V, bringing back bosses and fatality effects of older games while being known as the last official game released for the Neo Geo hardware for the Switch, PS4, and Xbox One.
That's fair. I know you've got a thing for Aquamenses. Mortal Kombat 11. Mortal Kombat! Its 11th installment involves the Time Guardian Kronika intending to fix Raiden's mistakes, which splintered the timeline. I wonder if they're going to go back and replace Christopher Lambert. For available for the Switch, PC, PS4, Xbox One. But why is there still no Jack Burton?
Right? But really, just his Aquaman. But if you're talking about Green Arrows, well now.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Geek News! Taking a look at the world from a geeky point of view. Now, I know you've heard the news by now, but we got to warn you regardless. A clip from Avengers Endgame has found its way online and is being shared across a number of social media platforms just days before the film's meant to be released to the public on April 26th.
Ooh, someone's gonna get fired. I bet it's Tom Holland.
The footage, which we are not going to describe, can best be called Spoilery McSpoiler Face. There's a lot of spoilers in it. The clip is subtitled in Arabic and appears to have been recorded during a screening of the film, judging from the theater seats visible in the frame. When stuff like this gets online, it can be incredibly hard to ignore it.
Especially when you do a daily test and you're desperate for news.
The sad thing is, as much as we detest spoilers, there are many people who love them and want to know everything about the movie they're paying to see and think you don't want any surprises either.
No, don't do that, because you know what? Snape kills Dumbledore, then travels back in time and finds out he was dead all along.
Damn, what a twist. We are a week away from the Avengers Endgame premiere, and everyone's excitement is ramping up like mad, so if you do not want spoilers, you might want to stay off the internet, except, of course, for GRD's various online presences, as we are not going to be spoiling anything.
Yeah, you saved that for panels.
What?
Last year at RavenCon, you told everybody how Infinity War would end.
Okay, in fairness, we're talking about a 30-year-old story. But anyway, the internet is going to be a challenge between now and next week when Ant-Man crawls up Thanos' butt and says, "Enough chalk!"
Yeah, enough chalk. Use a dry erase. If you like Bandersnatch, then prepare for the Choose Your Own Adventure-style YouTube programming that is planned to be coming to a channel near you.
They've had that for years. Do I watch this ad or close the tab?
YouTube is designating a new team for interactive programming to boost views and ad revenue for the Google subsidiary. And while various forms of interactive content have existed on the platform for some time now, YouTube's global head of original programming, Suzanne Daniels, said in a statement that the company now has amazing new tools and opportunities to create and tell multi-layered and interactive stories.
Next season of Cobra Kai, you decide if we sweep the leg.
YouTube is pursuing choose-your-own-adventure-style shows just months after Netflix made the medium a viral success with Black Mirror Bandersnatch. And look, let's face it, it doesn't come as a surprise. The project was such a resounding success that Netflix quickly seized on the opportunity to pump out more stories in a similar format. The Bear Grylls interactive series You vs. Wild, as one example, will hit the streaming platform this week.
Drink the urine? Yes or no?
No. Bandersnatch makes perfect sense for Netflix to try interactive storytelling. People already love the Black Mirror series, offering something close to a guaranteed audience, and especially so considering its novel format. But since it was popular, now everyone's got to try it.
Oh my God, wait till we get the interactive version of Nailed It.
Good for YouTube to give this a shot, although there have been creators that have already done this on their platform. One of the best examples was last year's A Date with Markiplier. So far, YouTube's track record with original content has been hit or miss, aside from what some of their longtime creators have done, and Cobra Kai and Ryan Hansen Solves Crimes on Television, which are both fantastic. Fantastic. Now, in a world where choice is merely an illusion, do you choose to have this choice or realize you only have that choice because somebody chose to give it to you? Choose wisely.
Oh, my geeps. I am so proud of you. We told you yesterday that PepsiCo's Russian branch was exploring a marketing partnership with startup Start Rocket to make space billboards for something called Adrenaline Rush, and the whole thing was allegedly designed to celebrate gamers.
If the billboards were interactive games, maybe, but no.
Thanks to your outrage and social media shaming, PepsiCo in America has said that this was just a one-time test. We weren't really going to do it. No. Maybe it was too expensive. Maybe something was sketchy on the Russian end of things. Or maybe, just maybe, someone said, wait, isn't pitching our malted battery acid with space billboards too horrible even for us?
Yet they're still running that okay. Commercial. It sounds like I just put my tongue through a shredder on accident.
Pepsi's space billboards may be temporarily dead, but we're sure they're going to come up with a new OMG, my soul is dying ad plan soon. They're already making these self-driving snack robots for college campuses.
Don't fall for it, Sarah.
Look, if you want to do something good, PepsiCo, bring back Crystal Pepsi for good this time.
You know, being a parent isn't easy. You got to be a good role model, pretend you like vegetables, try and get that damn baby shark out of your head.
Or having every episode of Paw Patrol memorized.
Baby shark, do-do-do-do-do. Damn it, it's back now. Shark, do-do-do-do, baby shark, do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Okay, had to get it out. Now, thank goodness there are some distractions, like a kid's movie. Take your kid to a theater and hopefully be able to catch a tiny nap as your kid is entertained. Unless you live in Ipswich and took your kids to see the new Peppa Pig movie, Festival of Fun. Because then trailers for upcoming horror movies, Ma and Brightburn, started rolling and your kid will now no longer sleep ever.
Well, it could have been worse. I mean, thankfully we're done with the Human Centipede and Twilight.
We do sincerely apologize for this and for any distress caused, and we'll be reviewing our internal procedures to ascertain how this came to be, a theater manager told the BBC. The trailer for Ma includes scenes of the main character running someone over with a truck, leaving a lifeless body in the road, and the bodies of several unconscious teenagers being manipulated in perverse ways.
Hey man, I'm from North Carolina. That sounds like a family reunion.
The Brightburn trailer includes shots of guns, blood, and a woman pulling a large piece of glass out of her eye.
See what happens when you sit too close to the TV, Johnny?
This is not as uncommon occurrence as one would hope. Last year, a theater in Western Australia accidentally played the trailer for the horror film Hereditary before a screening of Peter Rabbit. That trailer is only slightly more horrific than the trailers for Ma and Brightburn. I have personal experience with this. When I was 6, my dad took me to see Return of the Jedi. Before it was a trailer for Poltergeist. You see, kids, this was back when movies would stay in theaters for longer than 3 weeks. I was so petrified that I sat in my dad's lap and watched the dust falling through the light of the projector. Until he told me it was okay to look at the fun aliens. And then I was confronted by the slobbering face of Jabba. I didn't turn around again until the attack on the Death Star. Although I did turn around once to see the Ewoks, but I knew that the rebels had been put on sticks to be eaten. Wait, actually, I was okay with that. Rebel scum. But this most recent situation could have been worse. Those poor British kids could have accidentally been exposed to news from America. Hey, kids, want to see something real scary?
And on a sad note, because that's what ears do, manga artist Kazuko Kato, better known by his pen name Monkey Punch, who we know is the creative Lupin the Third, passed away from pneumonia on April 11th at age 81. Kato took the name Monkey Punch at an editor's recommendation during the mid-1960s. In 1967, when Lupin the Third debuted, the moniker stuck.
You do not want to know what my monkey nickname is.
Oh, Suzanne. Lupin is the grandson of the gentleman thief Arsene Lupin, the famous French literary character. When the manga debuted, Kato used the character's name without permission. The estate of novelist Maurice Leblanc, who created the original Lupin, filed suit, but legal action was unsuccessful in Japan. Internationally, however, it's why the character's name was changed to be a little different. Lupin the Third went on to become a highly successful manga and anime, and in the 1979 film The Castle of Cagliostro, perhaps the best anime version, was directed and co-written by Hayao Miyazaki of Studio Ghibli fame. The Lupin franchise is responsible for some of Japan's most iconic characters, who are still incredibly popular to this day. Besides Lupin the Third, Kato created an array of manga, but was best known for his stylish crime series, which continues to delight generation after generation. Monkey Punch summed up our love for the character in an interview once. He said, in a word, he's all about freedom, isn't he? I think this makes him a reflection of what we'd like to be ourselves. So go be the best you, Geeps. And remember, attack your enemy like a hawk and run like the wind. That's what a gentleman thief does. Make sure you steal something, too. I'm just saying. GRD is Legend of the Creative Commons Attribution, non-commercial, non-derivative works, Nice State 3.0 license. You can check us out on Facebook and on Twitter. Stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. You know, and why not drop us a note, won't you please? It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com, or you can send a voicemail to the magic number of
510-GRD-CREW.
Tell us what show you think Chabby's on, Chad and Abby on this week, and like another week or so, and we'll give out yet another prize, because that's simply the kind of people we are. Please, sing our glories. We'd love it. Or, you know, write songs about how awful we are. We think those are damn funny.
Blah, 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 blah.
Funny. I detect no source of amusement.
Well, we have nothing big and flashy to show you this week.
No more of your long stories, all right?
Yeah, people aren't used to boring podcasts.
Joker, you've asked for a chance to share your side of things. I'm told you've killed about 600 people. How exactly does your side of that go?
Stop right there. This is a sensitive man, and I won't have him being harassed.
That's all right. I want people to get me.
All right, then.
That's why I'm gonna kill everyone in this room.
Okay. I think that's a little more insight than we had in mind.
It's okay. He doesn't really mean that. He's just trying to ease the tension.
Funny way to go about it.
You have to remember, this man isn't responsible for those killings. He's merely a victim of the Batman's psychotic obsession.
I thought I was Batman's psychotic obsession.
So you think the Batman's the real sicko here?
Without a doubt. He's an obsessive-compulsive, narcissistic, hero-complex sociopath. I would love a shot at him as a patient.
Do guests get to keep these?
Sure. You do whatever you want with it. We got a closet full of them.
So long as you won't miss it.